Right now in this portion of Focal Point, we're going to talk about the measles epidemic and the issue of vaccinations. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Peter Pitts, who is a former FDA Associate Commissioner. He's also the president of the Center for Medicine in the Public Interest. His website is cmpi.org. And Peter Pitts, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Well, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Sure. All right. Well, let's get an overview of the measles epidemic at this particular point. Here we are recording this in early May 2019.
Well, it's hard to believe that in 2019 we're talking about a measles epidemic. And what makes it even worse is that it's due to people simply choosing not to be vaccinated versus something Mother Nature has thrown upon us.
Okay, and in fact, I was reading that in one part it said that measles had basically been wiped out, or had been, you know, was negligible, at least in America, for a long time, and now it is a problem again, isn't it?
It is, and you know, it's really a perfect storm of stupidity and vaccine denialism and groupthink, and this is a problem that we've brought on ourselves. The beauty of vaccines is that they work beautifully. You know, it's a real public health triumph. But vaccines work only if everybody is vaccinated. It's called the herd effect, H-E-R-D. The whole herd, all of us, have to be vaccinated, because if you have one unvaccinated member, all of a sudden everybody is at risk. And in this case, especially babies and young children, with dire consequences.
Mm. I was reading in a contrast, they were saying that if you compared, let's say, measles with Ebola, that, you know, with Ebola, one person infected might infect two people, whereas with measles, it might, that same person might be able to infect perhaps as many as 12 to 18 people.
It's highly contagious. And certainly in New York, where I live, it's even worse because you're in densely populated urban communities. So the virus that can stay alive airborne, even after the human who has it has left the room, can continue to infect people who are still in that room. It's a real problem. And trying to educate people as to why it's absolutely urgent to get their children vaccinated seems like something we shouldn't have to do anymore, but clearly it still is a very high and important public health imperative.
Okay, as of this recording, as of this day, which is May 6, 2019, the LA Times reports that more than 750 people have been diagnosed with measles in the United States this year, the most cases nationwide in more than 20 years. They also said health officials say that more than 500 of those people had not been vaccinated.
It just goes to show you that when a disease such as measles, you know, or polio, or whooping cough, pertussis, vanishes from our radar screen for, you know, a generation or two in some cases, then we forget how devastating the disease can be, and we forget how we actually beat it in the first place, meaning vaccines. So we have to undergo, I think, a really serious public health campaign that focuses on both on the urgency, the safety, and the important nature of getting vaccinated, not just for yourself and your family, but for friends and for the nation.
Sure. And by the way, you are in the state of New York, I believe, and they were saying in this article that more than 670 people have been diagnosed with measles in New York. That's the highest level of any place in the country.
That's right, and that's largely due to, you know, groups of people in society who together choose not to get their children vaccinated, and they basically make up reasons not to get the vaccinations. A lot of this is urban myth. It's all wrong. And again, when you're in an urban setting, it spreads like wildfire, which is why you see these very densely populated pockets of New York with these enormous numbers of measles breakouts. And it's important because, again, New York is a relatively small place geographically. What happens in Brooklyn impacts what happens in Queens, impacts what happens in Manhattan. And you have to be careful about, you know, sending your kids to school or to the pediatrician, wow, or to the post office or to the movies or any type of outside activity that where they can come into contact with people, yeah, who may not be vaccinated. And again, I can't believe this is happening. It's such a backwards way to think about it, but you know, it's reality, and we've got to deal with it.
Well, what has caused this recent backlash against vaccinations?
Well, you know, years ago there was a guy named Andrew Wakefield, a British doctor, who published fake research showing that vaccines caused autism. And it caused a huge uproar. It really caught fire. It got into people's imagination, and it's completely false. His research was made up. He lost his medical license. But the idea that vaccines caused autism in the public's consciousness, despite all the science to the contrary. So now you add on to that, mothers saying, well, you know, I don't really think I want to get my child vaccinated. You know, they don't really need it. People don't get the measles anymore. That's just ignorance and stupidity. So those two things combined with the third thing of groupthink, where you have these communities reinforcing each other's incorrect assumptions, is what has caused this problem. And in fact, the mayor of New York said to these groups, if you don't get your kids vaccinated, you're going to pay large fines and things could happen. Your children, for example, could be taken away. Oh. And they brought the city of New York to court. And what the judge said was very interesting, which is a fireman doesn't need permission for apartments on fire because it could spread to the apartments all around you. And the same is true for things like measles or, you know, the diseases that vaccines cure, because they are wildfire. And when they get root, it's hard to put out that fire. But when it happens, we all have to pull together and make sure that happens.
Now, let me ask you this. When you mentioned the thing about autism, I was talking to a man who is a parent, and he's a father of a son who has autism. And he said that, you know, his son is about maybe 3 or 4 years old, but he was a real active kid and wonderful and so forth until about the age of 2 or something, when he had a shot to prevent autism. And then it just really changed the boy. And then he did a lot of research. And this is an anecdotal case, you know, of somebody against at least that particular vaccination. And maybe, you know, it was maybe that particular strain of the vaccination or something was in question. But this is not a statistic. This is a real person who was describing his own situation in his own family. And I know him personally. It's just kind of bizarre. I don't know how to deal with that information.
Well, you know, as they say, you know, the plural of anecdote isn't data. You know, yeah. It's awful when people suffer these personal health care issues and there's no way to define it other than terrible. And it hurts marriages and it really puts strains on people's finances for a lifetime. But there isn't that connection. And I recognize that people want to be able to blame it on something. They want to be able to point the finger. But it simply isn't true or accurate. And it does tremendous damage. When people think that it's true, they don't get their kids vaccinated, and things like whooping cough epidemics in California happen. You know, people have been flouting around this vaccines autism connection for, you know, 25 years. You know, it's not true. It's never been true. It isn't true now. And just because the autism onset happened around the same time that the vaccines happened, you know, coincidence is not causation, as they say. And as horrible as that is, it's just not correct. It's bad science, and it's bad to share that information because it scares people away from doing the right thing.
Are you familiar at all, going back to measles directly, are you familiar at all with what happened at Disneyland a few years ago related to the measles, and how was that instructive in this conversation about making sure we get vaccinated?
Well, again, you know, whenever you're in high-density situations, and especially, you know, when children are involved and heat is involved, but the virus can last even longer, these types of things happen. I noticed in the news the other day that somebody on a cruise liner came down with measles and had to quarantine the whole ship. So, you know, these things happen very fast, and it should just serve to point out the urgency of making sure that everybody gets vaccinated.
All right. They were saying that, for example, in this article in the LA Times, roughly 90% of a community needs to be vaccinated to prevent measles outbreaks. They were saying that vaccination rates for measles reached a low of 92.3% in 2013. But then someone with measles visited Disneyland, and that sparked an outbreak of the disease, which rapidly grew. And it's just interesting. It just kind of highlights what you're saying.
Right, that reinforces the whole herd effect issue, which is if you want to protect the herd, each member of the herd has to be, vaccinated, because if one member isn't, the next member can get it and then pass along to the third and fourth, and all of a sudden you have a full-blown epidemic.
All right. Is there anything important to say that we haven't said? What's the argument against vaccinations for the most part? I mean, is there a reasonable scientific argument that can be made?
There isn't. There is not. Unfortunately, the only argument against vaccinations is just pure stupidity, you know, or misunderstanding, ignorance. And I think we have to undertake a national education campaign to get everybody back on beam and reach that 90+% point of total vaccinations. It's money well spent. But I would say the one thing I would leave you with is if you're a parent with a child, you have any questions about whether to get your child vaccinated, talk to your doctor. You know, they're the best source of up to date, important healthcare information, and you know, they're there to serve you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Peter Pitts. Again, his website is cmpi.org. Thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you now. Bye-bye.